This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the Caps have a little mini break this week. Been through a lot of hockey to end March, and now they get to sit back, relax, until at least Sunday when they welcome the Minnesota Wild to D.C. But to talk all about what happened this past week, joining me as always, my good buddy, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. The Capitals had a couple games since we talked last. They looked really stellar in back-to-back games up against Buffalo and the New Jersey Devils. But then on Monday, they welcomed the Carolina Hurricanes to town, and the Hurricanes came in, wiped the whole place out. They looked terrible. What happened here? We've got, again, a Jekyll and Hyde type of series of games. Were the Caps just tired because it was three games in four nights? Is it Carolina a better team? What do you think's going on?
I think a little bit of it is exhaustion, but I thought it was interesting that they were talking about this on Caps this morning about how really the message should have been, and I'm imagining it was, or it could have been, but the message going into that Carolina game was, look, you've got a bunch of time off coming up. Like, we got days off, so I know you're tired. We just had a back-to-back. You know, you had a Sunday off and then going into the Monday game. Just give it everything. Empty the tank, I think, is how Ben Raby may have put it. But just put it all out on the ice because you're taking a break after that. You know, we're not playing another back-to-back. We're not playing 2 days later. We're not playing 3 days later. So just give it all that you've got. And that didn't happen. You know, and we could talk about how, you know, Oshie, who's back, you know, we got kind of hosed on that one in terms of a stick was ripped out of his hands. That was clearly a penalty. They ignored that. But then he gets called for slashing, which negates the Ovechkin goal.
Yeah, I do have to just butt in real quick about that. I'm normally a guy who doesn't like to blame the referees for losses because, yes, there can be bad refereeing, but you got to kind of have to overcome that. And, you know, being able to score goals is a big part of winning games. But I got to say, that Monday game, that might have been the worst refereeing I have seen all season. Maybe in the last couple seasons. Things were just completely blatantly missed. Things were miscalled. Penalties given out to people that weren't making penalties. That was a terribly refereed game.
I think that a point can be made that the refs can play a role when you lose by one or two, or there's a late penalty that cost you or something along those lines, that, you know, Sure. Maybe the refs could put the whistle away. But when you get blown out 6-1,
right,
the refs are not the problem. Like, you need to look internally because someone's, definitely more than one's, done messed up. Like, you played poorly and they deserve to lose that game because they did play poorly. So, yes, the refereeing was not great. Certainly not something that any one of those guys is going to look back on and go, I did a great job tonight. But just like the Caps players, they're going to look back at that game and go, I played like crap in this game. Because that was the reality. And it's not everybody. Tom Wilson looked good. He's still having a great season. You know, he looked good in that game. He's, only one goal away from his single season high in goals. Dude's upped his offensive game over the past couple of years and props to him for it. But where was everybody else during that game? I mean, it was garbage. And the thing is, and we kind of talked about this last week in terms of they, you know, this wasn't a terrible week. They went 2-1. They got a shootout win over Buffalo. They got a win over New Jersey. Both those games had final scores of 4-3, which is weird. But those are two teams, they're not making the playoffs. Like, they did not have good seasons, which, you know, this part of the year could actually make them more dangerous because they just don't care anymore.
Right.
In the set, no, like, the, don't get that wrong. The players care, but they don't care about making the playoffs because they're not going to. So they're just going all out because they got nothing to lose. What's going to happen? They're not going to make the playoffs? They're already not there. So it doesn't really matter. So if anything, teams like that sometimes are harder to play against at this point because, like I said, they just don't care anymore. But to go into the game against Carolina and get blown out like that, I mean, I have, and this is a segue for us, I have a hard time kind of arguing with Paul Bissonnette's comments.
And what are the comments that he had to say?
Well, I am not going to say verbatim. I'll give you sort of the abridged version. But essentially, he says the Caps, well, 8 teams in the playoffs, the Caps are the only one that aren't going to go anywhere. They're the only team that he doesn't think has a shot at winning the Cup. And he also said some other stuff about, oh, Caps fans are coming at me. Well, yeah, dude, any team that you talk negative about is probably going to have some fans that are going to come at you. Like, that's just the reality of being in that medium in terms of having that sort of spotlight, you know, that sort of job. You're going to have people talk about you on Twitter. That's just it. Because you're paid to have an opinion. You're paid to make points, to express your thoughts on a particular situation or a team, right? So people are going to get upset. I don't really care what he had to say about that. Like, that's irrelevant to me. But the comments that he made, essentially saying the Caps are the only team. He said 7 of the 8 teams he could see winning the Cup, not the Capitals. I have a hard time arguing with him about that or disagreeing with him, considering how I've seen this team play. When they go up against teams that are playoff caliber teams, they lose or they don't play very well. And that's just reality. You know, yes, they beat Carolina in a shootout earlier in the month. They've played well against some good teams, Calgary. You know, they played well against them, were able to come out with a 5-4. Well, yeah, played well enough. 5-4 win. You know, they lost to Dallas. They lost to St. Louis. They lost to they beat the Islanders. Sorry. Crushed Columbus, but Columbus is kind of blowing up right now. This is not a team that you look at based on statistics, based on what we're seeing in front of us. This is the Capitals are not a team that looks to be dangerous in the playoffs. So I tagged, it was me that tagged you and Ryan and our buddy Phil. And I think I did my buddy Brand, a different Brand, a Twitter buddy, who's actually from this, in the area that I live. About that, I forget who it was that put that thing out on Twitter about like your biggest surprise of the season, your MVP, biggest disappointment, how they'll do in the playoffs, those kind of things. And I think all of us were like not getting out of the first round.
Yeah.
Like it's not happening. I think my comment was as far as Vanacek will take them, but I was just trying to be like a contrarian and make it kind of fun.
I think it was another podcast, Chirpin DMV. We'll give them a little shout out there.
Yeah. I haven't checked that one out. You know, maybe they'll give us a shout out next. But I thought they also were retweeting like everybody that responded. So I saw that I got retweeted and I was like, oh, cool. They liked what I said. And then I went and looked and they're like, oh, they liked what everybody said. That's not as special. Anyways. So I looked at that and I'm like, I don't see how they're getting out of the first round. Basically, it's Carolina or Florida, right? Like, let me look at the standings real quick. Is it really anybody else?
Right now we're up against Florida.
I still don't understand that. If it's us in Boston, why is Boston not staying in their division? The whole point was you have to get out of your division. And it's like, you have to get out of your division unless you're a wild card team. Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
I don't understand that.
Yeah, so I think each of us did say they don't see the Capitals getting out of the first round. I'll be that guy. I'll say it. And that's what really helped the Capitals in 2018 when they did win the Cup. Holtby came out and said it. He was like, look, there was no pressure on us. There were no expectations. So the fact that we got that far, it kind of helped us. Now, can this team stay healthy? I don't know. I mean, this is definitely not the team that I think any of us envisioned at the beginning of the season. So is it a better team? Is it a worse team than what we were at the beginning of the season? I'm not really sure. I guess only time will tell at that point of what we're going to see in the future. I don't see this team getting out of the first round just because they haven't shown that they can do it. They can't go on stretch runs. This team is old. They can't play hard-nosed.
I don't think their age has necessarily anything. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, it does.
I don't know. Come on now. You can have an old team that still plays well. We've seen that
can
before.
Play well in a game, but to go on a stretch, they can't do it.
We didn't prepare to have this specific conversation, so I haven't looked it up, to be fair. But I don't think that it's necessarily active, in my opinion. An older team can do well in the playoffs. I mean, were they not an old, I guess, I mean, they were like, what, a medium-age team a couple of years ago when they won the Cup? You know, we've had teams with older players that have won the Cup. I think the problem is right now is that the skill level between the top six and the bottom six in terms of production drops off. and you're just not getting the production you need. Now, this team, in reality, in my opinion, is going to go as far as the goalies take them. Let me try that. It's going to go as far as the goalies and the role players take them. Because you can't go into the playoffs and you can't play, expect to win a round in the playoffs if you're only getting production from your top six forwards, from your top level goal scorers and your top two or three defensemen. Everyone has to play well. Look at the team that won the cup. One of their top deformers. That's not what I meant to say. their top performers in the playoffs was Devontae Smith-Pelly, who wasn't that great in the regular season. He was good. He wasn't as good as he was in the playoffs in the regular season. And he was what? He might not have been leading the team in points, but he was right up there. And that's what you need. You need everybody when they hit the playoffs to up their game. Now, to be fair, just like 2018, we didn't necessarily see that coming. So, can things change? Yes. There is still time for things to play. Oh my God, Brandon, what is wrong with me? There is still time for things to change. But I don't see that happening based on the evidence in front of us. They've got 14 games. The thing is, they have not a lot of games left, right? So they have 14 games left, which means that they can get a total of, what, 28 points. It's not going to happen. 28 more points, I should say. That's not going to happen. They're not going to go on a 14-game winning streak. That's just unlikely.
They might probably get 14 points out of that.
So the odds of them making the playoffs are pretty high because the next team after them, being the Caps, are the eighth seed right now. The ninth seed is Columbus at 69 points. So they are 15 points behind the Caps. It's a big hill to climb for them. Let's be honest. With that said, the Caps are 3 points behind Boston to move up in the wild card spot and end up either taking Florida or Carolina. I'm not really sure which right now because how that will lay out. They have the same amount of points. But Carolina's played one more game. So Florida technically is the top seed because of the percentage. Anyways, or winning percentage, I should say. Boston's played two less games. So they can easily get themselves a little bit of a cushion there, which then technically puts them ahead of Toronto, who's still ahead of the Caps, even though they played also two less games. It's going great. They've played the same amount of games of Pittsburgh, but Pittsburgh's 6 points up on them, and they don't look like they're slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, there's a four-point game coming up because the Capitals and the Penguins do face off on April 9th.
Mm-hmm. Rangers, who we thought weren't going to be very good this season, whoops, they're running away with second place in the division right now. They play the same amount of games as the Caps, but they're 9 points up. So the time is not on the Caps' side. Their spot is not up to them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They have to win as many games as they can and hope that other teams will beat these teams in front of them. Could they catch Carolina? Could they win the Metro? Technically, yes. Statistically, yeah. Are they going to? Probably not. Like I don't.
You
got to
think too. There's 14 games left, like you said, and in the middle of April, they hit the road on April 13th. They're not back in DC playing a game until April 24th. So,
well, they play better on the road than they have been at home. So maybe that's a good thing.
Maybe that is a good thing, but they got 5 games on the road from the technically the 14th through the 22nd. So, I mean, that's a good chunk of time that they're going to be on planes traveling around.
Never mind. They're winning the division because they have all these games on the road. I mean, at home, they're 16-14-5. Wasn't there a season where they didn't lose a game at home or didn't lose a game in regulation at home? On the road this year?
I think, what was it, 2012? They went the entire month of October without a home loss.
I mean, I feel like they went an incredible length of time without losing at home. I mean, the Capital One, Verizon Center, MCI Center, whatever it used to be at that point. U.S. Air Arena was Capital Center. It was like a home fortress. Like, you went to that building as an opposing team, and you're like, this is going to suck.
Yeah.
Right? They're 16-14-5 at home. They're 21-7-5 on the road.
It's good for them not to get home ice advantage.
That's what I'm saying. Like, play all, you know what? Don't even ask for home games. Play all 7 games of a series in the other team's arena, and you're winning the cup. That's what's happening. That is a problem in itself, and that's something they need to fix in the offseason. And if what everybody's expecting, they get knocked out in the first round, I have to wonder if this coaching staff is going to be in for a bit of a shakeup. And I don't know how much.
They just got a new head coach. Like,
okay,
two
it's
years?
Not working. He's in his third year now?
It's not his third, is it?
I think so.
Yeah, but can you really count those last 2 years because they're COVID years?
I don't care. Other teams.
It didn't stop Tampa, who kept all their players from the Stanley Cup year from the year before. So that's different.
And kept them all on IR until the salary cap didn't matter anymore.
I'm wondering. I'm not looking at Laviolette yet because to me this
I didn't say Laviolette.
This is his first year as a head coach of the Capitals.
Did I say Laviolette?
You did not say Laviolette. You said coaching staff.
This is not his first year. Okay, first of all, Forsythe needs to go. Power play has been garbage. It's been garbage for a while. All right, Laviolette started in 2020. So this is whether you like it or not. Wait, would this be his second season then? Yeah.
I mean, this is his first full season. They had two shortened seasons, right? Well, no, he didn't come. 2020 was...
He started September of 2020. So he had last year and this year, right?
Right. So, yeah. So he had a COVID year.
Laviolette.
So, no, he didn't even start in September, right? Because they didn't play until, what, January of 2021? So it was a shortened season. So you really can't...
I'm still saying... I'm not saying it's him, necessarily. But what they're doing isn't working. And you're not going to trade half the freaking roster. I mean, half the roster is gone after at least doesn't have a contract after next season. But that's not how sports works because it's much harder to get rid of a player. Well, for the most part, it's much harder to shake up your roster to the extent that it might need to be than it is to get rid of a coach. And if he can't get it to work with these players, then maybe someone else can. And I have to imagine that's what the team is thinking. They're thinking someone else can get something out of these players that he or Forsythe or one of these guys is not. And, you know, I don't know who that is. I don't know if they, you know, do you even want to move on from Laviolette? I'm not necessarily stating that. But I think if they get knocked out in the first round again, that's what, 3 years in a row now? 4 years in a row? 3 years in a row? Whatever it is. That's not good enough. That's not good enough for a team that has one of the best players of all time in Alex Ovechkin, who has Hall of Fame candidate in Nicholas Backstrom, who has at least USA Hockey Hall of Fame candidate in TJ Oshie, who has Captain America, John Carlson. Like, this is a team that should be better than they are, or at least how they have been this season. And it's going to fall on – it's two people. It's Laviolette and there's McClellan. They got to figure it out. And if they don't, one of them is likely going to have to go. Now, do you give Laviolette another season? Probably. Do you give, you know, Blaine Forsythe another season? Probably not. Because over the past couple of seasons, we've seen the power play is not very good.
No, it isn't.
It's not. It's too much of try and feed the puck to Ovechkin or Oshie in the slot and no one else. Or there's shots from the outside that no one's creating traffic, so it's easy for the opposing goal to be like, well, get that out of here. Get this out of here. This is easy. I'm going to catch that. No problem whatsoever for me. It hasn't been good enough, and it hasn't been good enough for a while, at least the power play itself. So when you look back at comments by Bissonnette, I have a hard time arguing with him. You sent me the text, which I saw, but I think you sent it to me in the evening, and I was putting my kids to sleep. And then I was like, okay, I'll look at it later, and then I 100% forgot. And then... The next day, I was like, oh, crap, Brandon sent me the text. So I went and I looked at it because I think I may have seen people on Twitter talking about it. And I was like, oh, what did he say? So I went back and looked at it, and I was like, he's not wrong. Like, I'm having a hard time. Like, you can be like, hey, man, don't talk crap about the Caps. Well, play better and people can't.
He's not wrong, but I still don't like him.
I don't like him because he's buddies with Ryan Whitney, who speared Ovechkin in the Nets. But aside from that, yeah, I have a hard time arguing with his point. You know, also, could he have made it a little bit better? Probably. He could have gone into more statistics in terms of talking about, you know, if that was me and I'm in there and I'm saying I think the Capitals are the only team that's not going to be able to the only team in the East, and I'm not looking at going, yes, they have a chance at winning the Cup. Everyone else I could look at and go, okay, if this happens, then yeah, they have a good shot, right? The Caps are the only one not. But then I would go into why. Now, to be fair, he's being asked to talk about, you know, 32 teams. You're not going to be able to do as much research. You're not going to watch as much hockey on that specific team that the Capitals fan would, right? We see more and read more and are more invested than he is in the team. So we have more in-depth, likely, more in-depth information. But if I'm him, I at least, if I'm going to make that kind of statement where I'm going to say this is the only team I can't, I'm going to do a little research ahead of time and talk about why. I'm not just going to say, oh, well, they're just not playing well enough. Yeah, we all know that. Thanks, Captain Obvious. But tell me why. It, to me, and it's not a shot at Vanecek, this team will go, and this is every team, to be honest, every team will go as far as their goalie can take them. And right now, what we've seen this season, there's nothing to say that the goalies can take them further than the first round. I hope that's not the case, and they can, but there's nothing to show me. There's nothing to show me that this power play can get them out of the first round. Power play opportunities and power play goals and special teams are so critically important in the playoffs. And the Caps is just not good enough.
No. And is it mostly goaltending that's the issue, or is there some problems on defense, do you think?
Yes.
All of it. All of it's an issue.
I mean, there's so many issues with this. Not so many. I'm probably being overdramatic, but there are certainly issues with this team. From the power play, to the goalies' ups and downs, to injuries because you're relying on players who are older, who have been beaten up throughout their careers, and their bodies don't heal as quickly as they used to. To younger players not quite getting the opportunities that you potentially would like them to see. To younger players maybe not taking advantage of the opportunities that they've had. To the cap situation causing an issue where they're only allowed to dress 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. So you're handicapping yourself. That's on McClellan. So, I don't know. I'm doing that little emoji thing that I send to you from time to time. Like the like,
all
know,
the time. All
guy,
the time.
All the time. Like, that's just, I think this offseason needs to be about fixing the cap, which is why I'm baffled that they keep signing guys to longer deals.
That's Brian McClellan's thing. He likes to just throw that money out there. He likes to live on the edge. He likes to not have cap space.
The reality is they're going to have a ton, at least as of right now, they have a ton of cap space next season. Because you're looking at after, if nothing changes, and we don't know who's going to come in the offseason, but as of right now, Eller, Hathaway, Sheary, Johansson would already likely be gone, Johansson, Fjallby, Orlov, Schultz, because he's after this season, Jensen, Kempney, Favari, Irwin, Samsonov, Vanecek, and Johan Larsson, who we have yet to actually see play, all of them, oh, and Hagelin, all of them are scheduled to be unrestricted or restricted free agents. If I'm looking at this correctly, where is it? They currently have $57 million in their cap. So they have about, what, $30 million in, if it stays at about, what is it, 82? No, sorry, they have $29 million in cap space right now for that season.
That's something right there. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money to play with. So, I mean, that's assuming you haven't made any trades. That's assuming. And now that's going to change because you're likely going to sign one of these goalies to a deal, which will be more money than they're getting right now. You're likely going to be signing a defenseman or signing a forward or something along those lines, and we'll see what that costs. But, you know, there's definitely some interesting. There's some interesting moves that this team will have to make after this season, but right now I kind of wonder if they've handicapped themselves a little bit, both with the salary cap situation and just not acquiring a goalie that has more experience than Vanecek, but he could go on a run. I mean, look at Matt Murray with the Penguins. He replaced sure. Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, it didn't end up working out long-term for the Penguins, but it worked out short-term because he won them a cup. Can Vanecek do the same thing? There's nothing that we've seen this season to say yes, but that doesn't mean it's a no. We just haven't seen it yet.
I mean, I've been saying it for years. I like Vitek a lot. I really do. I think that he's the future starter of this team. I mean, he's the starter now, but I think he's the future long-term starter for this team. I think he's really shown that he can adapt into situations, but can he stay healthy? That's my biggest issue with him is, can he stay healthy? Can he stay off of IR? I don't know if he's really shown that, but we shall see. Looking at the offense, I think we have a solid 9. I think the third line is the big question mark for me. I like
the lines.
They do change a lot, but like the lines as of the 28th, It was Ovi, Kuzi, Wilson, Mantha, Backy, and Oshie. Now, I would
that
swap.
That line works really well.
I would swap Wilson and Oshie because Mantha and Wilson work together. They're like peanut butter and jelly. They work together really well.
Like Bash Brothers from Mighty Ducks.
Yes, yes, exactly. That's exactly what it is. Let Oshie get a little bit more up to speed.
You're welcome, Caps marketing team.
Let Oshie get a little bit up to speed, work some of that rust off, and let him go to the top line with Kuzi and Ovi. And the Connor Sheary, Connor McMichael, Marcus Johansson line, that line still needs to have some work done. And the fourth line, Axel Janssen, Fialbi, Lars Eller, Garnet Hathaway. I've been impressed with those guys. I don't know if Lars Eller really deserves to be on the fourth line, but I like what the fourth line has been able to do. Axel Janssen, Fialbi, he's had some good shots on goal. He's been off a little bit, so they've kind of gone wide, but that dude's got some wheels. He's got the flow going as well, and if he can just get that accuracy down a little bit better, I think this guy definitely could be a long-term capital. But I like what I've seen from the fourth line, and I like the first and second. That third line, though, I think that there's just something missing right there. I don't know if it's Connor McMichael's inexperience, just because he's a young guy. Connor Sheary, I've been really impressed with, and Marcus Johansson, he said he wants to be here long-term, that he likes DC. So, I don't know. To me, there's three solid lines and then a big question mark for line three. But I like what I've seen so far. I don't know. They need to get more goals, obviously. And I don't know, take these next 14 games and really start honing a relationship with each other and really get each other working. Yeah, you got to switch up lines every now and again, but I think these are what we're probably going to see the next month or so. Let's really see if these guys can all gel.
Yeah, I mean, it's no time like the present. You know, you're kind of running out of opportunities to mess around with the lines. You got to. I'd like to see, and I feel like we went into the cup winning season or playoffs with like a, what is the lineup going to be? You know, like we've played this game before and it worked out then. It's just hard to see it now. But to be honest, it was hard to see it then. And they lost the first two games to Columbus and we were like, oh my God, they're about to get blown out. They're going to get swept by the freaking Columbus Blue Jackets, who respectfully were a good team and still are a pretty good team, but they're about to get swept by the Blue Jackets in the first round. And you know, this Trotz is gone, which actually ended up being the case, and all these other things are going to happen. And then they won the freaking cup. So who knows what's going to happen? Obviously none of us do. We can't predict the future, but right now I have a hard time seeing it going great.
Well, great, good.
I have a hard time seeing it going well. Right now, I'll take well. If they can get out of the first round, things get interesting. Because I think at that point, you've got a bit of a you've got a massive momentum boost.
Now, you were kind of bringing up the numbers and would they be able to move out of a wild card spot? Do you want them to move out of a wild card spot and potentially face either the Rangers or the Pittsburgh Penguins, or do we want them up against Florida? Do we want them up against Carolina? I mean, let's not talk about that Monday game, but earlier in March, it was a Friday night, March 18th, Caps and Carolina Hurricanes had a fantastic game. I think the best one the Caps had all year up against Carolina. What do you think? Do you want them to stay kind of where they're at, or do you want them to move up and potentially face either the Penguins or the pretty dangerous-looking Rangers?
I mean, when you get in the playoffs, there's no good matchup unless apparently you're the team facing the Capitals right now. Like, there's no matchup that you look at and go, all right, here we go. We got a good opportunity.
Well, remember, like, 2017, I think, and we got the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round, and I think all of us were kind of like, ah, awesome, right onto the semis. We don't even got to worry about this. And Toronto, like, went for a run. I think they took them to seven games, and
yeah, Marcus
Caps barely got out.
2014?
No,
it was because Johansson scored the game winner in game six or game seven to send him on to the second round.
No, this was during, remember that was that 2 year window that we had?
Oh, the only 2 year window.
Yeah.
They have a 2 year window every 2 years. It's weird, but it works out. So I don't remember specifically that one because there's been so many playoff disappointments with this freaking team. But there's an opportunity to do something, as there is every playoffs, to be fair. But I think I have a hard time seeing it because of their play. Like, yes, they went and they were able to go into Carolina and come away with a 4-3 shootout win. But are they going to be able to do that over a 7-game series? Can they win 4 out of 7? I have a hard time seeing that happening.
Yeah, me too. It's going to be difficult.
But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. I love it when you're wrong.
Thanks, man.
I think all of us are thinking that way. I think all of us are thinking, can this team go for a run? Can they stay healthy? That's my biggest issue is, I don't know, can Vitek stay in net? Can he stay healthy? Can Oshie stay in the lineup? I mean, I kind of feel like we want to wrap that guy in bubble wrap for another month or so, bring him back in May when he can actually make a difference in the playoffs, because he's just been hurt so much this year. I mean, he's barely played a quarter of the season. And then who else is on IR right now? We've got Trevor Van Riemsdyk. He's not in the lineup. Nick Dowd's not in the lineup. I mean,
no, Garnet, Dowd's – isn't Dowd back?
Is Dowd back? I don't think he's back. Is he back? Did he practice today?
Checking.
Samantha Pell.
Samantha, help. I got Tarek up first because he was right next to Samantha, but he was on the left side. I can't find it. Well, because they have all these days off, it's kind of hard to tell.
Yeah, well, Ovi had an extra day off. He did not practice on Thursday, the 31st, as we record this.
I don't know. I have to go back ways. Either way, that's the other thing about having this break is it gives you an opportunity to get a couple of guys back. And I think it's funny we talk about the injuries and how this team is old, but Vanacek's not old. He's, what, 26?
He's a youngin', yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, you see stories every once in a while, and I feel like I've seen more of this when it comes to European football than hockey, but you see about how young players are always getting injuries, and baseball to an extent with pitchers, but they get these injuries because their bodies are still technically developing, and then they're putting all this physical stress on it, and that likely leads to more injuries. So, I don't know.
Yeah, the savior for the Baltimore Orioles, Adley Rutschman, he was supposed to be the next big name. He was the number one draft pick a year or two ago, and everyone was saying, is he going to make it to the bigs? Is he going to make it to the bigs? Is he going to make it to the bigs? And then he got hurt in spring training, and he's missed like the last 2.5 weeks. So like he's supposed to be the guy. He's supposed to save the franchise, and now he's out for spring training. Like that's the big news of
the Orioles
training camp.
Need more than just that to save the season for them.
Yeah. They need, like, a new ownership. So, anything else we should talk about here in Caps world?
Last little bit of news is that the Caps signed goalie Clay Stevenson to a 2-year entry-level deal. So, another prospect to put into the goaltending department. Could see this kid maybe make some moves and make his way to the NHL roster in the next couple of years, maybe as a backup or even a starter. But that remains to be seen. My guess is he'll be at, like, rookie camp next year, probably for the next couple of years, and get some looks during the preseason. At least a little couple look, some looks at camp. My guess is with Hershey or South Carolina next season.
Well, welcome to the team, youngin. Way to go, Clay Stevenson. Hey, that's a name right there, Stevenson.
Sounds so familiar.
It does. I don't know why. Wonder if he also underpays people. Anyway. Anyway, so that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, in the past week, Hershey went 1-1-1. With a win over Lehigh Valley, a loss to Providence, and a shootout loss to Hartford, the Bears are currently tied for third in the Atlantic Division with Providence, but Providence has played 6 less games than them. So Bears are pretty much in fourth because they only have to win one of those 6 to move ahead of them. They'll be back at it with 3 games before we talk again, starting with back-to-back games in Charlotte starting on Friday. They then head to Bridgeport on Tuesday. Another Bears news, the team announced that the Caps signed forward Mike Vachon to a 1-year, 2-way deal for the 2022-2023 season. He's currently tied for the team lead in points, so congratulations to him on his new deal. down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-1. Look at that, a winning week.
All right.
They had two wins over, still going to pronounce this wrong, just like I did last week, Trois Rivières, and a win over Greenville. Stingrays are currently 7th in the South Division with 52 points, 32 back of first place Atlanta. They'll attempt to keep the winning going starting on Friday when they host Orlando at the North Charleston Coliseum before they head to Orlando on Saturday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, hey, Stingrays doing their thing. Bears, let's keep going, guys. Let's keep going. Let's get into that that postseason for the AHL. So we'll see how it goes. So go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we are. We're going around the NHL and beyond. There's not as much going on as it was last week. That was a fun segment last week, wasn't it? But hey, Coach Dan's going to keep you informed, tell you what's happening. So, Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Dude, I thought I was going to lose my voice after all of the trades from last week. There were a lot.
Lots of trades, and then the IIHF was like, hey, I got an idea. Let's put the dates out and everything for everything we're doing for the next year and a half.
Yeah, you guys are rude. Rude to my voice. This week, there's not quite as much, but let's start with women's hockey, where the Boston Pride defeated number one seed Connecticut Whale 4-2 on Monday night in the Isobel Cup championship game. This is Boston's third championship and second in a row, making them the first team in PHF history to be the repeat Isobel Cup winner. So congratulations to them. Some somber news out of Ottawa as the Senators announced that owner Eugene Melnyk passed away on Monday after an illness. Last week, we talked about how Carolina's Nino Niederreiter was appealing his one-game suspension. Lee came out and announced that his one-game suspension was being upheld. Now, when he appealed it, he'd already served the one-game suspension. It sounded more like he was just trying to hang on to a couple of bucks. League said, nope, you made a mistake, and now you're getting punished for it. Speaking of people making mistakes and getting punished, Boston's Taylor Hall was fined $5,000 for roughing Toronto's Ilya Lyubushkin. Did you see this play?
I did not.
He sucker punched.
Actually, no. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I'm sorry.
Out of that dude. Someone needs to get Taylor Hall into anger management.
He had his back to him and everything. Just completely sucker punched the guy out of nowhere.
Like, what a deep. Anyways, on the same night that happened, Nashville's Tanner Gnat, all right, was fined $2,000 for kneeing Ottawa's Brady Tkachuk. You gotta watch out. That dude's got like six brothers in the league. You're gonna go up one of his brothers later on, they're gonna come after you. Or he's got like, what, two? One? Anyways. And finally, Minnesota re-signed defenseman Alex Goligoski to a 2-year, $4 million deal. That's the news from the past week in the NHL and beyond.
Well, congratulations to Boston on their big win on Monday, beating the Connecticut Whale. Congrats to them. And how about Tyler Hall? Why don't you not, well, number one, don't sucker punch people. And NHL, how about you actually like suspend the guy for doing something so incredibly blatant? I mean, such a
anybody listening to this podcast right now that is not a fan of the Washington Capitals is going Tom Wilson.
Yes. Okay. Sure. I hear you, but come on, that was pretty blatant. And Tom Wilson's never sucker punched anybody. Has he? He's never sucker punched.
I kind of feel like he might have at some point.
He has run into people at full speed, which is probably not smart, but I don't think he's ever gone up to somebody and just gone, wham! Without being like, hey, do you want to go? Do you want to drop the mitts? He at least asks first. It's a polite thing to do.
Wilson has certainly, I mean, there's a reason we came up with the phrase, you don't get to play if you're going to be dumb. So, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Coach Dan, is that the show?
That's it, man. Wrap it up.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash Coach Dan. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals-related things from time to time, as well as talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, the Commanders, and how they continue to be a dumpster fire thanks to their owner. Seriously, if they just got rid, not got rid, if they NFL, which Roger Goodell, he comes out and says, Dan Snyder has had nothing to do with the team day-to-day operations for months. And this is not verbatim. This is basically what he said. And then literally that day, an article comes out talking about how Snyder's been involved in day-to-day operations. It's like, you guys, you can't even lie correctly. And I'm talking about the, like, Goodell's a coward. But Snyder is just a bad person. Like, to his core. And the NFL, it would be such good press if they were just like, get out. You could get rid of the dude in Carolina, but Snyder does sexual harassment for, likely for years. And has created a hostile work environment. Somehow, he is potentially doing illegal things with the books. And the NFL is like, he's not getting involved. Guys, I don't know if the NFL's heard of this, but it's called Twitter. People talk about things on there from time to time, like me. So find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, and Hershey Cubs. Actually, they made an announcement I totally forgot to talk about, but they hired a dude to be like in charge of their development. Anyways, that's finding us on Facebook somehow at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But hey, I was talking about the Bills and the ineptness that is the Washington Commanders. If someone happens to be a fan of the Baltimore Ravens, where I have been on the field at their stadium, I've been in this suite and I've been on the field at, right, M&T Bank Stadium. While I did, in fact, see you on the screen. If they happen to be a fan of the team that plays at M&T Bank Stadium, is there a particular podcast they should go ahead and check out?
You can check out my Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh are actually trying to figure out when we can record a show. We are so busy right now, and there is a lot going on. There's a big discussion of why Lamar Jackson has not signed his new contract and why they have not come to terms. And somebody on Good Morning Football the other day said, maybe he doesn't want to be with the Ravens. Maybe that's why. And Lamar came out. He said, I love the Ravens. You got to stop putting words in my mouth. I want to discuss this.
Okay, hold on. Let's discuss this right now. Do you think he wants to be in Baltimore?
I do think he wants to be in Baltimore, but I think that the Ravens don't want to pay him the amount of money he thinks he's worth. And he also thinks I might not be worth it because I haven't won that Super Bowl yet. I think he wants to go the Joe Flacco route, where he wants a Super Bowl, then overrated. He wants a new contract where he can prove, hey, you should spend this money on me. Because right now, if I'm the Ravens owner, I'm looking at him going, you've never played an entire season. You've only won one playoff game. I can't pay you Aaron Rodgers money when you haven't done that. You haven't gone that far. You haven't finished a full season yet. Every season he has played, he has not played in 16 or now 17 games. I want him, though. He is a tremendous talent. I want him to be a part of this team, but I haven't seen results of big monies just yet.
I don't know, man. As a fan of a team that just traded for Carson Wentz, you know, enjoy a quarterback while you have one. As the fan of a team who went to M&T Bank to watch Nathan, what's his name? Peterman? Why can't I ever remember his freaking name? Be the starter and get his you-know-what handed to him in that particular game where the Ravens trounced the Bills. You know, enjoy it while you got it. Because you guys have he's a good quarterback.
He's a great quarterback. But he also is very, he can run a lot. And now that he's got a bad ankle, can he still run?
Then the question is, can he throw?
Oh, he can throw.
Well, then that's what he's got. No problem with that. Quarterback needs to throw.
Yeah.
Run when you need to, but he's got to be able to throw.
He's a dual threat.
So, yeah. Meh. It's not Josh Allen.
Well, I think they both, never mind.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say, well, they done the same thing in the playoffs, but Josh Allen did get farther than Lamar did in the playoffs, so never mind.
And with the league changing the rule now, it would have been interesting to see what happens if Josh had gotten the ball in overtime.
I hate that rule change. That's so stupid.
What are you talking about?
Dumb.
How is that dumb?
Stupid.
Both teams should have the opportunity to get the ball.
No.
You're telling me that a game could be decided, like, given the defense needs to step up,
exactly.
But a game could be decided because of a coin toss?
No, it can't be decided by the coin toss. It can be decided by the defense.
Dude, this is like saying you do a coin toss to see if there's overtime or overtime, extra innings in Major League Baseball playoffs. But, oh, okay, so we do a coin toss, whichever team, you know, you have, if you score a run, I don't know where I'm going with this one. If you score a run in the 10th inning, then the other team doesn't get to play, right? Like, no, that's dumb. Both teams, you get the top of the inning and the bottom of the inning. Both teams in NFL should get the ball in overtime.
No, they both sides do have a chance to win the game. The defense needs to perform better.
That's not how it works, man.
Defense wins championships. They always say that.
Yeah, but you have to score to win the championships as well.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways. Let's wrap it up, man.
I also hate the 17-game season, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's just asking for more injuries.
Yeah, I don't like it. Because they're like, all the games are going to matter more. Well, still in week 17, everyone still sat their starters. So it just... just another game. Who cares? I like the fourth preseason game more because it's rookies who are trying to fight their way for a spot. I like the preseason games because it's a little bit more effort than week 17, but whatever.
Yeah, especially for a team that's already made the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. So what were we talking about again?
I think we were...
Oh, yeah. Listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh will record at some point. I don't know when. Before the draft, hopefully. But we'll see. Anyway, if you enjoy this podcast, which I think it was about the Capitals.
At one point it was.
At one point it was, yeah. At one point it was. Thank you for listening to us. What do I say at this point normally? Make sure you write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. And then be social with the show. Follow us on Facebook. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok. Anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone, say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So let's go over the two games until we talk again. The Caps have had a little bit of a break. On Sunday, April 3rd, the Capitals welcome the Minnesota Wild, don't you know, down to D.C. That game's at 7 o'clock. You can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Wednesday, April 6th, the Capitals are up against the Tampa Bay Lightning in D.C., 7:30 start, and that one is national on TNT. So we get to hear that terrible commentary team and
all right, calm down.
The terrible intermission reports that are just horrible. And just because a guy's funny on Twitter, he gets a job to talk about stuff during intermission.
That is not why he gets so angry.
That's be a professional. That's why. That's why I don't work for them. Anyway. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps!
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.